Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Stu does America.
Did you know the show is completely free on YouTube? Why not share with your friends and family and enemies and criminals you might bump into? Have them follow the channel. Hit the bell for notifications everywhere we go live or whatever. You'll get a notification. That's always fun. Get your official Stu Does America merch as well. StuDoesMerch.com. Use the code STU10 for 10% off your order. Jason Buttrell is going to join us with the latest on Ukraine and Israel. I know you've been starved for news about Corinne Jean-Pierre, but we... Have no fear. We have an amazing KJP update for you today. You're going to love it. But we're going to start by doing climate homicide. And yeah, you might be tuning into the show today and be like, hey, is this going to be a good show? And look, I don't know, frankly. I mean, it could suck completely. It could be the worst show we ever do. You don't know when you start a show if it's going to be the worst show you've ever done or not. However, what I can promise is Climate Homicide will be better than 2003's Hollywood Homicide, starring Harrison Ford and Josh Hartnett. That I know. 2 hours for that thing. I mean, that was a slog. But 2 hours for Hollywood Homicide. We're going to pull this off in, like, I don't know, 15 minutes or so, okay? So Climate Homicide, different than Hollywood Homicide, a terrible movie. Climate Homicide, we're going to go back to 2023. And Climate Homicide, there was a big report that came out from, you know, left-wing academia. It was called Climate Homicide, Prosecuting Big Oil for Climate Deaths. This is from the Harvard Environmental Law Review, Volume 48, Number 1. So go back through your collection, I'm sure, and check out that issue that you definitely have on your shelf. This was kind of one of the, it's probably the most influential piece of propaganda in this particular form, trying to encourage people. Let me read a quick part of this for you. Article finds that in jurisdictions across the United States, fossil fuel companies could be prosecuted for every type of homicide short of first-degree murder, a charge it does not evaluate. It would be hard for the climate to have predetermined murder, but, you know, they might have those aspirations. We don't know. It also concludes that prosecutions could offer highly effective remedies that prosecutors could be motivated to seek. They should be motivated to seek them. So get that? Basically, hey, we can find a way for climate deaths to be prosecuted as homicide, basically under every jurisdiction in America, as long as you don't say it's first-degree murder. And then in addition to that, you guys should know these will be good remedies for the policies that we want, right? And they should pursue them. So you're going to be shocked to hear they are pursuing them. Here we are just a couple of years later. Climate homicide is the term that they're using. This is a new front for ridiculous lawfare, according to National Review, Dan McLaughlin. And this is a good description of what they're going for here. The model is lawsuits against the cigarette companies. Of course, individuals smoke cigarettes sold by particular companies. So you can see how that would have a straight line. The theory here is that the fossil fuel companies have injured everyone in the entire world, now and in the future, by means of any business operations with any customers, with a chain of causation running through the atmosphere and the climate of the entire planet. So this makes perfect sense. How could anyone even doubt it? It is completely ridiculous, but those cases are now popping up. Oil companies are sued over the death of a woman in a 2021 heat wave. Let me give you some of the features of this as reported by the New York Times. As an unusual heat dome sent temperatures in the Pacific Northwest soaring to 108 degrees Fahrenheit on June 28th, 2021, Juliana Leon pulled her car over and rolled down the windows, overwhelmed by the heat. Hours later, when emergency medical workers reached Ms. Leon, she had died of hyperthermia or overheating. Her internal body temperature was 110 degrees Fahrenheit, according to court documents. Very sad story. Ms. Leon's daughter, Misty, has sued 7 oil and gas companies, claiming wrongful death.
suit alleges that they failed to warn the public of the dangers of the planet warming emissions produced by their products and that they funded decade-long campaigns to obscure the scientific consensus on global warming. Experts said, in Ms. Leon's case, filed in state court in Washington, it's the first time that fossil fuel companies have ever been sued over the death of an individual as a result of conditions caused by man-made climate change. There's probably a good reason for that. The companies named in the complaint are ExxonMobil, Chevron, Shell, BP, ConocoPhillips, Phillips 66, and Olympic Pipeline Company, a subsidiary managed by BP. In the complaint, Ms. Leon's attorneys lay out a well-established set of facts that the oil and gas companies knew for decades that their products would dangerously alter the planet's atmosphere. Again, all this just popped out there as if it's complete fact, that they continued to produce those products despite knowing the risks, and that they worked to suppress public awareness of these dangers. Of course, you might be thinking, like, the kind of the influential paper on this was written in 2023, so it was kind of weird that 2021 death would be the target for this, right? Like, how did that even happen? Well, the New York Times, in paragraph like 974, it kind of hints to this, and it's like, well, was this family like, gosh, the climate has killed my daughter. I'm going to wait 4 years and put a lawsuit out there. That's, of course, not how it happened. Ms. Leon was first approached in late 2023 by a nonprofit group, the Center for Climate Integrity, which helps assemble and promote cases against big oil and gas companies. So this is just the left-wing, you know, typical operation here, right? Well-funded, and to go after these companies, they're doing it in this very sketchy way. This is the lawsuit, and it is lengthy, but it is frivolous as well. And it's frivolous for a bunch of reasons. You might be thinking, okay, well, this woman, she's, you know, so hot that she pulls over her car and rolls down her windows, which is obviously a very strange thing to do in that particular situation. But okay, she was just so hot. Maybe she was delusional. She was so hot. And this poor, normal, average, everyday woman in a normal, average, everyday circumstance was just killed by the heat. Okay? Not exactly the way that it went down. Ryan Mao on Twitter goes through this, and he says this is a frivolous lawsuit. But an excellent test for climate attribution pseudoscience in the courtroom. The New York Times fails to mention that the car's air conditioner broke. That's kind of a big deal. The weather forecast, by the way, clearly detailed the day's high temperatures. So this was not a surprise hot day. This was a known very hot day. And it was well over 100 degrees. But again, how do most people survive those temperatures? They use their air conditioner. Well, when your car's air conditioner breaks, you are definitely going to be more susceptible to such a thing. Now, from the complaint, the plaintiff argues that the heat wave conditions would have been both virtually impossible without climate change and also less severe or impactful. So either you can't be both virtually impossible and just less severe or impactful. You can't argue both. You got to pick one. The extreme weather event as defined would not have happened versus the weather event that did occur was more severe because of climate change. You can't have both of those arguments at the same time, which is, of course, obviously true. Sadly, the woman overheated in her car after returning from a doctor's appointment for bariatric surgery from 2 weeks prior. So she had just gone through a very traumatic event with her body. She was quite vulnerable to heat stroke. And of course, the car's AC broke. Roadway temperatures are much more extreme, and rolling down windows at over 100 degrees would not help. So again, like, you think about how hot it is on a road in that type of temperature, like pulling over, you're on pavement, you've rolled your windows down. It's not going to be helpful. It's going to be an ugly, ugly situation. And unfortunately, you know, the heat did take this woman's life, a woman, though, that had been through a very traumatic health situation. Anyway, the Daily Wire also covered this. New York Times covers crazy climate change lawsuit targeting oil companies, but leaves out key evidence. As they note, not only she'd had the surgery, she hadn't eaten any food in 2 weeks, which again would probably make you very vulnerable. She had been in a liquid diet because of the bariatric surgery. Now, if you've ever, we did this a while ago in New York when Glenn was running the company up in New York, and we had, you know, the big office, and Glenn looked around the office and said, wow, you guys are all almost as fat as I am. We should do a juice cleanse. And Glenn bought everybody this New York Juice Club. I mean, he's probably still paying the bill off at this point. And so they gave you, it was like three or four, maybe it was five juices a day, and that's all you could eat. And you had a different one in the morning, you had a different one during the day, and everyone was on this, everyone was on it the first day. Or at least for the first juice. And then they realized, first of all, it tasted terribly. And secondly, they wanted food. So lots of people bailed on this, even despite that all the juice was already purchased. So there's just like leftover awful green juices in the fridge for weeks and weeks and weeks after this incident. But I just remember being on it, and I actually lasted through it because I like to torture myself. And I got through the whole thing, and as you can see, it made me perfectly healthy for the rest of my life. It cleansed all of those toxins out of my body, and now I'm perfectly fine. But it was funny because you felt like off, you know, and you felt like, oh my gosh, like I felt like I was starving myself every day is what it felt like, honestly. And in some ways, I guess you kind of are in a very, very small way. But you fell off. And like going through a liquid diet like that can be a real issue for people. It kind of makes you feel off anyway. Add that to no air conditioning, 108 degrees on pavement, bariatric surgery. I mean, you know, obviously you normally have that for being overweight. So that could be play into it too. Bottom line is a lot of circumstances played into this. It's hard to imagine it was climate change. It was anywhere near the top of the list. In fact, when you look at the facts of the matter, it doesn't seem like it was anywhere near the list. This is a study of the Pacific Northwest heat wave of 25 to 30 June 2021. It's a study on how did this happen in a scientific journal. And this is weather and forecasting, by the way. Go to your bookshelf real quick. Volume 39, issue 2. Okay, volume 39, issue 2. Make sure you don't pick out issue 3. It had almost nothing. There was almost nothing in there. It was terrible. It was like Godfather 3. It was awful. Just awful. Several factors came together to produce this extreme event. A record-breaking mid-tropospheric ridge over British Columbia in the optimal location. Record-breaking mid-tropospheric temperatures. Strong subsidence in the lower atmosphere. Low level easterly flow that produced downslope warning on regional terrain and the removal of cooler marine air and an approaching low level trough that enhanced downslope flow, the occurrence at a time of maximum insolation and drier than normal soil moisture. And I read that and I know it's just like in your head already because you've already obviously read volume 39, issue 2 so many times. I'm just like, why are you repeating that again? But I want to make sure for people who don't subscribe, there's probably a few people right now in this audience that do not subscribe to weather and forecasting and didn't get volume 39, issue 2. Or maybe there's just a mail issue, right? Like you might be a subscriber, like they never sent me volume 39, issue 2. By the way, if you do contact weather and forecasting, they will send that to you, I think. You know, you have to deal with the customer service. Anyway, it goes on to say, it is shown that all-time record temperatures have not become more frequent, huh? And that the annual high temperatures only increase at the rate of baseline global warming. Although anthropogenic warming may have contributed as much as 1 degree Celsius to the event, there is little evidence of further amplification from increasing greenhouse gases. Weather forecasts were excellent for the event, highly accurate predictions of the extreme temperatures. And it summarizes it this way. There is no evidence that greenhouse warming resulted in the amplification of key elements of the 2021 heat wave. So you go through this and you say, all right, wait a minute. First of all, they say there's a maximum of a 1 degree Celsius. So you're talking about instead of 108, it may have only been the high 106s at the time of this particular incident. I'm pretty sure that was probably pretty hot, too. And this is the thing. And this is something that the left does all the time, right? They try to misuse the legal system. They look at our legal system and say, hey, this is a weakness for this country. They see the legal system not as a strength and, hey, we're doing the best we can to get to the best results we can legally. They see it as a weakness. They know they can harass these companies with massive lawsuits that oftentimes, because they don't want the hassle, they'll just settle, right? They know they can get that precedent set. Then they can kind of come and attack. you do a little judge shopping, a little district shopping. You look for the best possible left-wing justice that you can possibly find. Maybe you wait until the Supreme Court looks a little bit more left, and you bring these things up. And once you get one of these things through, then you have the precedent to sue, and destroy these oil companies, which, when I say oil companies, I mean the companies that basically bring civilization to your doorstep. That's what's going on. You want to be hot. You want to be cold. You want to be hot when it's cold. You want to be cold when it's hot. It's funny because the same companies that honestly like are serving and could have maybe prevented this situation, companies that, you know, make the gas for the car, number one, maybe made the gas and the oil and the fossil fuels that wind up powering the homes and businesses that are cool because of the air conditioning they utilize. All of these things are powered by fossil fuels, and yet they're being blamed for the death. And it's like it's important to understand they don't actually think this woman died because of climate change. None of them think that. They're not, they might be that stupid. Some of them might believe it. But generally speaking, that's not the story here. It's not about them believing. It's not about arguing science with them. It's about whether they can get this through the legal process in a way that will harm these companies because they want these companies destroyed. And you'd think, you know, I find this fascinating. I think it's really common, honestly, these days, where you have something that's so obviously universally positive. Right. I think fossil fuels line up really easily to as understandable benefits to our society. And there's always a slew of people who are very, very loud, who go on social media, who fund these organizations, who will take extreme measures to stop that universal good. It's really interesting that happens over and over and over again. And I can give you 100 examples of it. But like when you're talking about global warming, it's tying into fossil fuels. It's so obvious. You have a cost-benefit analysis that normal people do, normal countries do, normal organizations do. When you're thinking, hey, do I spend money on advertising? Oh, well, there's a cost to that and there's a benefit to that, right? Like you say, okay, I'm going to spend this much money on advertising. It's going to bring this much money in. It's going to increase our sales. How does that balance happen? Smart people, smart businesses do cost-benefit analysis. Dumb businesses, dumb people, dumb organizations, dumb governments do either cost analysis or benefit analysis. Cost analysis is, gosh, fossil fuels are bad. They've raised the temperature, if you believe that, by about a degree over a century. That's bad. Therefore, fossil fuels are bad. Well, what about the benefit of fossil fuels? Have you noticed that, like, I don't know, society is society, civilization is civilization? A good chunk of the reason for that is fossil fuels, okay? That is probably the biggest when it comes to when you're, you know, talking about a natural resource. Most certainly it is the greatest benefit. It does incredible things. In almost every aspect of your life that's positive, fossil fuels are there making that better. You know, this happens all the time. You know, you take another thing that you do, global warming, on the global warming side, is just a benefit analysis of a policy. Hey, we're going to dump, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars into green energy, and we're going to say, hey, it's going to lower emissions by this amount. A benefit analysis. Well, what about the cost of that? Number one, the money. But number two, even deeper than that, the reliability and what sorts of energy you're deleting because of it. Right. One of the big issues going back many, many years in the environmental movement, and they've somewhat changed on this, was kind of the deletion of nuclear power as an option. Right. They went after nuclear power because of the cost of it. Right. They said it was too expensive, but they also said it's probably going to wind up, you know, Chernobyl's all over the place. Of course, that only happened in the old Soviet Union, where the government had control of every single aspect of society, basically. That was the worry. So we abandoned that entire approach for many, many years. Now that AI is around and they really need a lot more power really quickly, it's coming back into fashion a little bit. But when you looked at this and said cost, things could go wrong. It could be expensive, blah, 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 on nuclear power. You missed out on the benefits. It's incredibly reliable power. And also, if you care about global warming, if you care about emissions, if you're the type of person that's saying, oh, well, the CO2 emissions are going up, it's the perfect antidote to that as well. It's a great midpoint, right? We get reliable power. And you don't have to deal with whatever risk there might be from global warming if the left happens to be completely right on it, which I don't think they are. But if they are, you have an offset for that. You're able to look at it and say, hey, we're getting best of both worlds here with nuclear power. That is why it was targeted. Because when you look at this from a, you step back and you say, wait a minute, is this really about this poor woman who died, you know, after surgery and not eating food for 2 weeks when it was 108 degrees and she had her windows rolled down on pavement? Is it really about that? Or is it about taking down this entire system we have? It's about taking down capitalism as a whole, freedom as a whole when it comes to your, you know, economic future, but also your future when it is related to what the government's going to do to you, not for you. I look at this and I think the answer is pretty clear. This is yet another element of a movement that is trying to implement degrowth type policies that would wind up hurting people, that would wind up killing people and has killed people and all over the world. Is the cost justify the benefit there? Does the benefit justify that cost? I would say no. But there is a massive movement who wants to do that to you. And this is just their latest tool in that battle. We're going to bring on Jason Buttrell next. We're going to look at Ukraine. We're going to look at the Middle East, Israel, and our college campuses. We'll talk about that next. Harrison Ford's like, I wasn't any better than Hollywood Homicide. It was a great film. All right, let me talk to you about maybe not the easiest thing to talk about. If you're a guy and, you know, you notice things aren't quite as enthusiastic as they used to be in the bedroom, well, you're not alone. You have options. And Blue Chew makes it easy, especially their Blue Chew Max. They've got the active ingredients from both Viagra and Cialis in one chewable tablet. It works fast, it lasts, and right now you can try for free for a whole month. All you have to do is go to bluechew.com, answer a few questions, consult with a licensed medical provider, always important. And if you're approved, you get prescription shipped right to your door in just a few days. It's made right here in the USA. The entire process happens online, so there's no doctor visits, there's no awkward face-to-face conversations, and there's no waiting around at the pharmacy. Make life easier. Discover your options at bluechew.com. They've got a special deal going on right now. Try your first month of Blue Chew for free when you use the promo code STU. Just pay $5 shipping. The promo code is STU at bluechew.com, bluechew.com. For more details and important safety information, check that out. Check out the website. But it's bluechew.com and the code is STU.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Joined once again by Jason Buttrell. He's a head writer and researcher for Glenn Beck on the Glenn Beck program right here on Blaze TV. Jason, thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me, Stu.
Yeah, what's the show? Do you know what the show's about tonight?
Tonight, yeah, we're looking into this whole war between, you know, Harvard and the Trump administration. It's starting to spill out even more, but it's going to get worse probably with the other, you know, universities, you know, in the country. It just seems like this is turning into more of the elite establishment against the Trump administration. What cracks me up about some of this is, you know, I don't know if you did you read the note from Kristi Noem and Homeland Security when they said, OK, you guys were revoking all of your student visas?
No, I didn't.
The things that they asked for. First off, the first half of the letter is like very, very, you know, get some. She's like, you know, because you failed to do what we've asked, we are revoking, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, dang.
Yeah.
But then it says at the end, we'll give you 72 more hours just to come up with the information we requested. The information they requested was very, very reasonable. It was, you know, all the attacks on Jews, give us video footage of that, the police reports, all that stuff. They're trying to get a handle on just how bad it has gotten if you happen to be Jewish on some of these campuses. And Harvard, I think, to this day, still has not turned that over. I mean, come on. These are actual crime. This is crime information. This is data. You can easily hand this over, but they won't do it. Why?
It seems like they're leaning on
the protections of the media, who they know will be on their side.
Sure.
Right? They're leaning on the protections of the left, who will be on their side. And it does seem like, you know, with this problem growing, I mean, look, we've had, what, three big attacks over the past few weeks of Jews, you know, including a guy who built his own flamethrower, planned for a year, an illegal alien, and I was going to say illegal immigrant, but he didn't really migrate here. He came on a visa, an overstayed visa, so a legal alien is much more appropriate for someone like that. But then, you know, lit a Holocaust victim on fire in a park along with others, and we're immediately supposed to jump to, gosh, this could cause Islamophobia. I can't, it's like clockwork.
I don't even know, with that attitude and mindset, and a lot of this preached from the elitist of the elite universities all over the country right now, I don't even know how you address this problem with common sense. We have imported, I don't know how, we've allowed this invasion of probably some of the most dangerous people in the world into our country. You had an interview with Sarah Adams, that former CIA targeter, I think it was yesterday, yeah. You and Glenn. And she was throwing around numbers. Glenn was like, how many of these people are in our country? How many terrorists do you think the CIA is tracking right now? And she goes, by her estimate, I think she said around 8,000 that just got in illegally. They're somewhere in the country. We don't know what they're planning. We don't know what their intentions are. Now, those are people that have gotten in. That's terrifying beyond terrifying.
Yes.
They are actively planning attacks like 9/11 right now in the country. But then you have people like this Egyptian guy who didn't come over here for that specifically, but he's probably already, you know, he's got a radicalized mindset, clearly, and willing to do something crazy and awful at the drop of a hat. I mean, especially with this, you know, ideology spilling out of these college campuses, that's all they're hearing about is there's a genocide going on in Gaza. What are they gonna be willing to do? I don't know, but I talked to you, you know, off camera during the break. You know, there was this, there's a show called Lioness by Taylor Sheridan.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And, there's at one point Nicole Kidman says, she's like a CIA character, and she goes, it's going to happen again. She's talking about 9/11. She's talking to her husband, and she's like, we can't stop it. She actually says in the show, she goes, they're coming over from the open border, the open Mexican border. Mm. We know they're here, and there's not a thing we can do about it.
Nicole Kidman read the script?
She's probably gritting her teeth as she's saying this.
Yeah.
But everyone knows this,
yeah.
And it's going on right now, and it's getting worse with this ideology. It's terrifying to think about what we're, you know, building up to.
And the ideology is, I think, shocking how much it's been embraced by a lot. I mean, you know, there's a whole wing of the Democratic Party that is just straight out pro-Hamas at this point. It's seemingly growing. We had this massive amount of protests about Gaza, which, I mean, I think you could say, hey, you know, gosh, there probably are people who don't want to kill Jews in Gaza that are in a terrible situation because of what the people who did kill Jews did, right? And I think you could feel sympathy for those people. However, it's hard to feel that sympathy when a lot of these people started protesting Israel, which was October like 8th. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm sorry, if you're out there doing that on that day, you just can't stand Israel. You can't stand Jews. Like that, there's no reason to start it on the day before the military even responded.
Yeah, it's such a... And this ideology is coming directly from these elite campuses.
Yeah.
We did a show, I think about a year ago, a Glenn Beck TV show, where we showed this, it was some lecture that was being given by these top-rated professors within these Ivy League schools. And they were talking about how Hamas was clumped into the other, you know, The other radical groupings within the left.
Sure.
So, you know, LGBTQ, elemental P, all those people, everything, mm-hmm. Radical feminists, all this. They were grouping Hamas into that. Now I'm like, wait a minute, that makes no sense. Like, how can you have a Hamas guy and an LGBTQ activist sitting together, holding hands with their arms around each other, saying, yeah, we're all in the same struggle? Because at its core, and I remember this lunatic, crazy guy with a gray goatee talking about how Islamists, anarchists, radical leftists were going to work together mm-hmm. to see the downfall of Western society.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what's happening, because at places like Harvard, they're talking about how, you know, they're giving this mindset of, it's a Marxist mindset, how down with the colonialists.
Mm-hmm.
And however we can manifest that wherever, if there's an attack on October 7th, it's just a response to colonialism.
Yeah.
So whatever they did is justified.
Yeah.
As abhorrent as that sounds, that's how they're justifying it.
Yeah.
No, they're like, we don't care about that. It's the real problem is the reaction when they defended themselves. What?
Yeah. I mean, look at the treatment of these left wing groups with the couple that was murdered in Washington, D.C. They want to free the guy who just murdered them for absolutely no reason.
Insane.
Absolutely insane. I want to move quickly, though, before we run out of time to Ukraine. A really incredible attack not quite to the level maybe of the beeper attack, which was really mesmerizing, but this one where they stored these drones in these shipping containers and like huts of some sort, and they're able to wipe out some large percentage of these long-range bombers that Russia has all over the country. Really a fascinating attack. And can you talk about like the details of it, but also how does this change warfare going forward?
Oh my gosh. Stu, I think there's two humongous things going on in the world right now that pretty much top everything. Mm-hmm. The first is the remake and reshaping of the global economy. It's happening right now, whether we like it or not. Even if Donald Trump is not president tomorrow, it's still going forward. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. So what's going on with the tariffs, let's say the next administration gets rid of the tariffs, they try something else. Whatever the mechanism they use to try to do it, it's going to happen.
Mm.
So the global economy is going through a massive reset and shift. Global war is going through an equally important reshape and shift. What you're seeing in Ukraine going back for the last 3 years is, one side that's having to adapt for not having the numbers of the other side. So Ukraine having to adapt for not having. The way they're trying to do that is through technology. They're doing it with drones. What's nuts is how they pulled this off is they hid drones in tractor trailers driven into Russia off of semi-trucks. So basically what they did was, and there was like, 200 drones or, tons of drones within each one of these, tractor trailers.
Mm.
Remotely opened, remotely piloted, and effectively turning a $20,000 semi-truck into a billion-dollar aircraft carrier.
Mm.
Now, you think about that. Ukraine doesn't have a ton of money, besides all the money that we gave them, to pull off a war like this. So they're having to adapt. And you see this all throughout history. The lesser force has to come up with something, has to adapt some way to make up for the fact of the invading country or the oppressor country that has tons of money and tons of weapons.
It's putting stones in a sling, basically.
Stones in a sling.
That's a very old example.
Exactly. And if you fail to adapt to this new mindset and landscape, you're going to get rolled over. The scary thing is I don't see the United States with any aggressive effort really trying to adapt to this at all. There's people like Palmer Luckey and Endural. They're doing stuff with like drone technology, but I still don't see the focus being there. I guarantee the Chinese are looking at this. The entire world is looking at this. Terrorists that could be some of the 8,000 terrorists that are in our country right now are looking at the massive damage and the things you can do very cheaply through drone technology or other, non-conventional, means of pulling off nation state level attacks with a few hundred dollars. I mean, each one of those drones is about $300 in a semi-truck.
Amazing. I mean, and they're producing these drones in Ukraine now. But apparently, I was just reading a report on this, that when this all started, when they decided they needed to go deep into the drone thing, they were literally buying them off Amazon and retrofitting them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is actually how this started. And these are cheap to make. They're now churning them out like crazy. So, like, do we think of this as, like, we talked about this a little bit on radio the other day. Part of me feels just terrified by this. I mean, I watched, what was it, Angel Has Fallen, where this Jerome Soren comes in, tries to assassinate the president, the documentary Angel Has Fallen.
Yes.
you look at that, and you're like, God, how would you even fight against this? It's terrifying. And on the other hand, like, you do see a situation where these are drones taking out planes. The plane, it didn't kill anybody. Right. Like these were attacks that did not kill. There are no casualties as far as at least the last report that I read on this. And that is a really positive thing, right? Like, you have, you're not risking troops' lives here. You have drones taking out planes that were killing people. Now those planes won't be killing people. Like, there's probably some real good that comes out of this too.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it kind of, it depends on how you're looking at it. So, like, attack like this, yes, you know, there's no casualties. And when you talk about, you know, when I was watching Palmer Luckey's company, yeah, Endural, talking about how they can use swarms of autonomous, you know, aircraft that will accompany a pilot. So instead of having like 10 pilots risking their lives, there's one pilot who's, you know, kind of like the center of all that. That sounds great. But also look at, you know, the reason the atomic bomb was invented. The reason it was invented was to take out a massive industrial center all at once. So you don't have to, like, you know, you don't have to, you know, worry about, you know, your blanket number of bombs that are gonna take out all these different factories or this, you know, electric power grid, you know, producing thing for the, you know, mm-hmm, producing power for the rest of the country or this, yeah, region, whatever. You can just take it all out in one, you know, in one strike. Well, that's how it's going to be used in the future. You're going to have swarms of drones that are going to take out industrial centers. There will be massive loss of life there. Yeah. You'll have swarms of drones knocking out a power grid to an entire region. Well, that causes just about the same amount of deaths as a nuclear strike, mm, would over time, as people start running out of food, running out of water, things like that. That's what we're looking at. Mm-hmm. These are the kinds of attacks that we're going to have to defend against.
I try to be positive. And then you brought it into more people than a nuclear attack. I can see why you write for Glenn Beck.
Right? I know. I can do this with everything. Let's talk Tootsie Roll Pops. So let me tell you, Stu.
They can choke you. Jason Buttrell, head writer and researcher for Glenn Beck. The show is coming up tonight. Don't miss it. What is it, Aaron? 8 p.m.? 9 p.m. Eastern?
9 p.m.
9 p.m. Eastern. Thank you. I should know that by now. I've been here for a very long time. So check that out. It's tonight with Glenn. And Jason, I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Cespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Well, the U.S. has doubled tariffs on steel and aluminum to 50%. Mm-hmm. 50%. Was 25% up to 50%. Now, there's been some legal issues with Donald Trump's tariffs, trying to get them through the courts. The steel and aluminum ones are probably the most defensible legally. Like, he's not, probably not going to have any problems with them getting through the courts. Well, we will see, of course. The issue here, of course, for those, he's kind of on both sides of it. He made it in front of a bunch of steel workers, of course, in Pittsburgh. So a crowd really loved it. It will protect that particular industry. You know, of course, we do import. We're the world's largest importer of steel. We don't make as much of it as we used to here in the country. We do need a lot of it, though. And of course, you know, these tariffs, while they might help these companies that already exist with their current production, will not, of course, be able to launch tons and tons of new capacity immediately. So for a very long time, we're going to be importing a bunch of steel, at the very least, at much higher cost. So, you know, if you're building buildings, if you're using steel, I know I have people that I know who work in this particular field and have issues with the imports right now. It's really screwing with the cost of all of this, but I guess everybody's dealing with it, so it is what it is. Washington Post admitting to faulty reporting on claim that Israel killed dozens of Gazan civilians at their aid site. We talked about this a little bit with Jason, this incident where you have, they said 20, 30 people murdered at an aid site. I think we hit it maybe in yesterday's monologue as well. I love the update, though, because I have this affinity for that sort of PR speak when they really try to, like, massage an issue and, like, get way too cute with their words. One of my favorite books is Thank You for Smoking, Christopher Buckley, who kind of, there's a bunch of people from, you know, alcohol and tobacco and firearms, maybe it was those three industries, if I remember correctly. It's been a while. They had a movie about it as well. It's quite good, but they're always like coming up with ways to win these impossible arguments, you know, because even though they don't even believe their own shtick. Washington Post is in that category here. Let me give this to you real quick. They say, correction, we've deleted the post below because it was in early versions of the articles that didn't meet Post's fairness standards. The background, early versions of the article stated that Israeli troops had killed more than 30 people near a U.S. aid site in Gaza, with the headline attributing the action to health officials. We mentioned this the other day. Not only should you never believe something from Gaza health officials, you shouldn't even report it. It is nonsensical propaganda from Hamas. That's it. Beginning and end. The article failed to make clear if attributing the death to Israel was a position of the Gaza health ministry or a fact verified for the Post. Now, I don't know which one's more reliable. You might say the Gaza health ministry might actually be more reliable than the Post in some circumstances, but I digress. The article and headline were updated on Sunday, making it clear. This is where I love the phrasing, though. While statements from Israel made it, that it was unaware of injuries and that initial inquiry indicated that soldiers didn't fire at civilians near the site, were all included in all versions. The Post didn't give proper weight to Israel's denial and gave improper certitude. I love that. Next time I lie, I'm going to say, hey, by the way, I'm sorry. I gave you improper certitude on that one. Yeah, that's my bad. I need me to come up with a list of my favorite phrases like that, because there's so many good ones. But there you go. Gave improper certitude. Add that one to the list. And finally, I will say gave improper certitude, something that maybe KJP may want to add to her repertoire. She's got a new book coming out. It's called Independent, A Look Inside a Broken White House Outside the Party Lines by Karine Jean-Pierre. Comes out in October, I believe. So I'm very excited to read that. I actually might read it just because it's going to give me so much material. The description, though, highlights an important new fact we did not know. This is new. Apparently, Jean-Pierre came to a decision to be an independent. She's no longer in the Democratic Party. She didn't come to that opinion independent lightly. She had served two American presidents, Obama and Biden, of course, both Democrats. She's now left the Democratic Party. I will say tweet of the day, victory of the internet for the day, comes from Ben Jacobs from Politico. He says, I'm excited for the audiobook of this, which will be read by John Kirby. And it's impossible to describe how jealous I am of that tweet. A+, all around, no notes. I'm annoyed that I didn't think of it, but whatever. Karine Jean-Pierre, apparently no longer a Democrat, so take that for what it's worth. Your biggest financial decisions happen when life gets complicated. Buying or selling a home ranks at the top. The process demands time that most people don't have. The paperwork alone overwhelms. Every step brings new requirements, new deadlines, and of course, new ways for deals to fall apart, and they often do. The stakes couldn't be higher. This isn't picking the wrong restaurant. This is your family's financial future. One bad decision echoes for years. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com pairs you with the top selling real estate agent in your area. Not part-timers, not people learning on your dime. These are people who are team leaders. They understand today's market inside and out, and they know the best practices that actually work. They can close deals when others can't, and they've earned the trust that they have through results, not just promises and empty nonsense. If you're thinking about buying a home, if you're thinking about selling a home, maybe you're thinking about both. Usually, I guess you do both at the same time, right? Get connected with someone who handles this pressure every day and wins. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. The name says it all. Realestateagentsitrust.com. A free service to you, by the way. Realestateagentsitrust.com. Well, the hunt is on for an iconic but missing artifact from Back to the Future. Gibson Guitars, in conjunction with the filmmaker Doc Kreutzer, have launched Lost to the Future, a search for the Gibson ES-345 cherry red guitar that Michael J. Fox, as Marty McFly, plays in the film. Of course, you remember he played Earth Angel, and then his hands were disappearing, and then it came back, he finished it, and then despite the fact that he had like 30 seconds to spare or he would lose his entire life in the 1950s, he then played Johnny B. Goode. It was a bad decision, but he did it anyway. I will say if you happen to have I guess it was lost at some point in the last 40 years. If you happen to have the guitar, don't give it to them. Maybe give it to Glenn, and he can put it in the museum, and you can come see it at the American Journey Experience. I will say, by the way, mentioning Glenn, yesterday was the 14-year anniversary of him announcing he's going to leave Fox and go to create this thing on the internet called GBTV, eventually renamed Blaze TV, where you happen to be probably right about now. Thank you so much for joining us on this very long journey, 14 years in counting. StuDoesAmerica.com. If you go there, use the promo code Stu. You can join us on an annual subscription and support all the stuff that we're doing here at StuDoesAmerica.com. Promo code Stu.